Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Columbine happened in 1999. I remember in college, I actually did a report on the Columbine shooters. Since then, we've had 420 school shootings in the U.S. 160 of those have been since COVID. 2024, mass shootings started to decline, but not school shootings. Since Columbine, 390,000 students have been exposed to a school shooting. That is a lot of children. We're thinking about the kids that we send to school every day and entrust them to be safe and to gain the education that they deserve and should be getting in peace. We could talk about gun laws, but that's a different show. That's a different host. That's a different podcast. That's a different arena, and we're not going to talk about that here. We are talking about the mental and spiritual health as it pertains to the shooters of the school shooters. And at some point, we have to be honest with ourselves, they have been victims of something. In 2025 alone, as of April 28th, there have been 6 school shootings. Think about that. I've heard of maybe 1 or 2, and they were at universities. April 15th, 5 students were injured in a school shooting in Dallas, Texas. A 17-year-old opened fire, then turned the gun onto himself. It was said by investigators that he was targeting a specific student due to a dispute. We think about students who are being bullied. We think about students who are dealing with things at home that are that are out of their control. We think about what are our children dealing with on a day-to-day basis, and we don't know how they're handling these things emotionally, mentally, spiritually, even physically. So there was an article that I read that I will put into the show notes. It was called The Mind of the Mass School Shooter by Harold Schwartz. And I wanted to really dive into understanding the mental health of a school shooter. So there were 4 different things that came from this article that I wanted to share for this episode. Number 1, loneliness and isolation are big risk factors. Many school shooters struggle with deep loneliness. Even if they have friends around them, even if they're going home to a family, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are in tune with themselves. It doesn't necessarily mean that they feel apart, right? Think about when they're going to school. Who's a part of their social group? Do they fit in with that social group? Do they have a sense of self? Do they have those interpersonal skills to be able to be with themselves and yet find relatability in their peer circles? They often have few friends, weak family connections, and feel disconnected from the world around them. They have experiences like bullying, being expelled from school, or rejection that can make the isolation that they're feeling 100 times worse. Number 2, there is no real simple profile to predict a school shooter. Now, what we see is the school shooter is Caucasian, they're male, and there is something within them that has been the same throughout all of the school shooters, even in the colleges and universities, even in those mass shootings that we see that are not geared towards schools. While some warning signs are common, like untreated mental health issues, family problems, or past trauma, most people with these issues will never commit violence. Which is something that I want to highlight that we will also dive into today's episode. There is no perfect checklist or profile that can predict who will become a shooter. We cannot predict that, unfortunately. We can look at the trends, we can look at the research, we can look at what has been, and we still cannot predict who will become a mass shooter. Number three, there's a loss of empathy that happens. I know we've seen the horror films, the Mike Myers, all of that, guilty as charged, where we see them just lose empathy for pets, for nature, for their siblings, for people. Before committing violence, many shooters lose their ability to empathize with others. They stop seeing people as real human beings and make it that, which makes it easier for them to commit these acts without guilt or remorse. I know a lot of times when we see these things happen, there's this manifesto that is taking place where this shooter wants to leave a legacy and be known, right? Because they're not known in their waking life, they're not known and gaining that attention and that recognition in their everyday life among their peers, among their family. But really what this is they've tapped out. Their heart is cold. There's a lot internally that they've now just kind of allowed to blacken and disconnect from. And number four, it is complicated. To really identify the mental health of a school shooter is complicated because it's more than just the mental illness. School shootings cannot be explained just by mental illness alone. Social factors like isolation, cultural influences, personal struggles, and deep psychological issues all come together. So we're talking about what is the holistic makeup of this person? It's more than just their mental health and their ability to rationalize and connect with others. How are they managing those struggles? How is their spiritual health? Are they in tune with themselves? Do they have older people that they can look up to and that they can talk to and reason with? It is important to look at the full picture of that person, their situation, their livelihood, their ability and lack of ability to connect. And I know we might think that this is they're too young for them to even tap into this, but do they have a sense of purpose and belonging? We've got to do a better job with teaching our children about having a sense of purpose and belonging. We have to. It's going to change over time, true enough. But is there a sense of purpose and belonging that these children feel? School shooters, again, often feel isolated and disconnected from others. There is no way to predict when someone will become a school shooter. And we also want to take into account what is their experience. As I shared, there was a shooting in April where a young student, a 17-year-old, went after another student, causing five people to be harmed because of a dispute. Bullying. This is abuse. Also, I am honored and excited to share this conversation with a good friend from high school, Mark, who I adored in high school, and I'm grateful that he trusted me with his story, he trusted me with his experience, he trusted me with his healing to be able to share it with all of you his experience as a as in as, not as a juvenile, but his experience as a child and growing up, and what this turned into for him as the work that he does today. He's got a book coming out. He's got some amazing things coming out. I guess I can share it now because he shared it on Facebook, but he has a movie that he is working on also that is coming out. centered around the healing, the mental health healing, and the spiritual health healing with youth who are being bullied and dealing with other life changes and trauma, so that we can start working with policy makers and community activists on how to limit these school shootings. There's school shootings happening that we're not even hearing about. That's how massive this has become. So, take a nice big inhale and exhale. Grab some comfort, a comfort drink, tea, something, and just allow yourself to connect with your breath as we tune into this episode. Welcome to the Soul Work Podcast, a space where we dive into the journey of reconnecting with our body, our intuition, and our soul's true divine purpose. Each week, we will explore how to heal from within using body-centered wisdom, somatic and holistic healing practices, and engage in soulful healing and transformative conversations that will support you on your path to wholeness. In this podcast, we'll uncover ways to recognize the messages our bodies is sending us, transform old wounds, and step fully into our divine power. So whether you're here to break free from past patterns, build resilience, or simply deepen your soul's awareness, this space is dedicated to your growth, your healing, and your unique soul journey. So take a deep inhale and exhale. Settle in, grab your cup of tea, and let's do the soul work together. This is your Soul Work Podcast for your soul's work. What's up, everybody? My name is Love Ashley Elaine. I am the owner of AEI Studios, where we work with women who are healers, helpers, and visionaries, do their healing work, and transform all of that pain into their purpose. I want to share something that I am going to be doing starting April 8th and moving forward every Tuesday at 8 a.m. If you are a healer in the helping field, in the healing industry, if you are a visionary, if you are a seer, if you are tuned and tapped into your spiritual gifting and utilize them to create change in the world, I have a space for you. I have a grounding space for you. I feel like one of the major things that I'm here to do, that I am called and created to do, is to hold space for other leaders, Hold space for other healers, hold space for other helpers, hold space for other visionaries. The times that we're in require someone to hold space for our leaders. Who is holding space for our leaders? Who is holding space for you? So every Tuesday at 8 a.m., beginning April 8th, I have created a space for an hour. I don't want to hold you guys too long. It is free, where we will do meditation, we will do breath work, we will get grounded, we will get aligned, we'll have some space for journaling, we'll have some space for discussion, questions, anything that is sitting on your heart as a leader in the helping field, the healing field, and as a visionary. I want this space to be so sacred. I want this space to be a space where you, as a healer, as a helper, as a visionary, know that you have somewhere to let your hair down. You have somewhere to put your cape down, and you also have somewhere that is going to refuel your battery. So tap into the link below. It will be in the show notes. If you're watching this video on YouTube, it will be down below. Tap into the link. Registration is required so I can receive everyone's emails and be able to keep you updated, send out some beautiful things for you all to keep you in the work that you are meant to do. Everybody has a lane. Everybody has a lane, right? And I think the spaces that we're in right now, where everything is slowly crashing, right, unbeknownst to our current administration, we're starting to see what is needed for us to hold each other together, keep each other accountable, keep ourselves accountable to the work that we are called to do. We need to be able to stay in our own lane so that everybody is able to contribute to holding what needs to be held and rebuilding what needs to be rebuilt and just taking care of what they are called to take care of. We don't need everybody now scrambling and moving into other spaces that don't belong to them. Yes, you may be vested, but what is your lane? We want you to stay in your lane. So join us beginning April 8th at 8 a.m. The registration link is down below. You will get the Zoom link at the end of the registration. I will see you all on April 8th. I love you so much. Take care. And welcome back to the Soul Work Podcast with Love. My name is Love Ashley Elaine, and y'all, I think I actually rather do interviews on my podcast than talk by myself, even though I know if I talk by myself, I'm going to be talking for days. I have the honor and the privilege of having a beautiful high school friend, Mr. Mark Hulswig. I'm going to tap into his bio because, my God, he is a visionary spiritual leader dedicated to catalyzing a global shift in consciousness. And it's true because the conversation we just had before I hit record, yes, shaped by early experiences of bullying and identity questioning, his life path has been one of deep exploration into the nature of self, spirituality, and human potential. Drawing from ancient wisdom, traditions of hermeneuticism, Buddhism, and Gnosticism.
Yes, you said it right.
Okay. Because I'm like, wait a minute. I try to practice words before I get on here, and bridging them with modern science, neuroscience, and AI. Mark offers a profound synthesis of stoic knowledge and conscious evolution. His beautiful TED Talk and powerful short film on school shooting crisis reframes the issue as a spiritual and conscious crisis, highlighting the urgent need for collective awakening. Such a beautiful thing. Mark believes humanity is on the brink of extraordinary transformation, one that can elevate us to new levels of civilization by healing the root cause of fear, violence, and division. Through his upcoming book, Educational Reform Initiatives and Global Advocacy, Mark is building a movement rooted in emotional intelligence, empathy, and liberation from destructive systems. His mission is very clear: awaken humanity to its divine potential and lead the way to a more conscious and compassionate world. Please give it up for my beautiful high school friend, Mr. Mark. How are you? Welcome to the Soul Tribe.
Well, I'm so glad to be here, Ashley. And, you know, the universe brought us around for a reason. And I'm so grateful to share this space with you and to continue to share the similar message that we have and just expand on that. You know, that's ultimately why I'm here, is to help awaken humanity and just realize the deeper questions and the deeper meanings and, like, you know, the whys, like, what is your why? You know, and so many people don't have that. They don't have their purpose. They don't know what they don't know. They're on the ship, but they're not the captain of their own ship. They're just letting the waves take them wherever they go, and you can't. And I believe this knowledge that we're going to talk about and that we're going to share is going to give them a blueprint straight to the captain's quarters for them to take the wheel and to take charge of their life and their own destiny.
Yeah, I love that. That's literally how I got into, like, my own transformation. Is I just hit this point of, like, what is this? What am I supposed to be doing? Is what I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And then it just started, you know, when you ask a question, you got to be ready for the answer and how the answer comes. And it just opened up the door to therapy and all kinds of healing modalities. And I'm just, I love when I can see that and sense that in other people. And it's like, ooh, like the spidey senses start doing a thing. So thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for the shifts that you said yes to, because it's not easy. It's not easy at all. You're only the second person from high school that I've interviewed. Tamara was the first one.
Who was?
Tamara.
Oh my gosh, Tamara. Yeah, I remember. Oh, that's
amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm very selective on the people that I have in my space. So yes. When I saw your TED Talk and just been paying, like, you just, you know, the algorithm is like, okay, it's time for you to see people and seeing your work. And I was just like, yeah, we need to chat. So tell us what it's been, it's been over 20 years. It will be 20 years this year, our 20-year reunion this summer.
The 20-year reunion is this year, I think, in the summer. So yeah, 20 years.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the planning committee, kind of. But the last 20 years, tell us what you've been up to, like what has happened to where you are now, like shifting into where you are. Give us your story.
Oh man. And this is where I could talk for days, like the complexities and the sheer amount that's in my story. Like it would be like a dictionary, like super thick. To try to summarize the everything in the shortest period of time. My childhood is what drove my one yearning for transformation. I was, aside from the bullying that I went through with school, extreme bullying, I was also dealing with sexual abuse. And, you know, going back to the bullying, it's people just hurting each other. You know, I never understood why people hurt each other so much. And I did not, it was such a foreign concept to me, because I'm just a kind human being, you know, and I like to help people. And I've always wanted to help people. And people were always making fun of me, and I just never understood why. You know, I transitioned from grade school to grade school, from public school to private school, and it was the same. And that made me feel very introverted, very quiet. I didn't get friends, no girlfriends. I just didn't have anybody to talk to. And, you know, I experienced extreme depression at a very, very early age. And I was basketball was the only outlet that I had, you know, playing basketball in high school. Yeah. And that was super fun. And I realized, you know, that was like the only fun that I was having. And even then, people were like, oh, because you're tall, you should be a basketball player. And I was like, okay, I guess I should be a basketball player, you know. And just, you know, I had no sovereignty of my entity. You know, I did not know who I was. I didn't know why I was here. I didn't understand why people are so mean to each other. And it's just, it baffled me. And I just lived in a state of confusion, you know. And fast forward, I went to college. I studied business and finance. 4 years into my accounting job, I'm like, I can't do this for the rest of my life. I just received a point where I just was not happy with everything. I had a good job and whatever, but like, I was in the box and I was depressed. And I heard somebody talk about visualization, and I visualized myself doing that same job 10, 20, 30 years in the future. And I go like, no, I there's no, I can't, there has to be another way. From there, I picked up the first book that really transformed my life. It was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And that's what really just shifted my perspective. And, you know, I used to hate reading. I really struggled academically in school because I was dealing with so much bullying. I had no drive to study. I was too depressed to study. I wasn't remembering anything.
Yeah.
And the teachers were like, hey, what's wrong with you? And they had no idea the suffering that I was going through in the background that was impairing my ability to learn. And like, I just started hating reading because we were forced to read books that gave me no benefit to our lives, you know?
Yeah.
But that book at 25 years old was the spark of self-learning and self-actualization and realizing that, wow, there's so much information in that book that just really just, wow, if I just knew this earlier, okay, so what other books can I read? And long story short, that's what led me to change my sort of path with life and career. And I started going into entertainment, and I got my first gig over at Disney World of being, you know, friends with Chewbacca. And that is where I learned about energy, how I didn't, I was so ignorant of energy beforehand. Right. So before, people made fun of me for my height. They projected their insecurities onto me. And, you know, when I was in that environment, there was so much positive energy. It went from being so much negative energy to so much positive energy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I started, it was like receiving a revolving door of positive energy with every single guest that was there. And that's where I just really, I was like, wow, so my height can be something good, you know? I can do it for something good. People aren't making fun of me for being tall. They're like loving it. It was such a weird shift that happened. And that's when I learned about the whole energy thing. And from there, I went to one of the guys at the Indiana Jones stunt show was like, hey, you'd be good at our stunt show. And so I met the casting director, and I started doing stunts there. And somebody else was the stunt coordinator, and they were like, man, you'd be good for our show in Miami. And I started doing stunts in the TV and film world for several years, and I loved it. I was expanding. Life turned into a playground. You know, it went from being a curse to like a playground. It started to be much more fun. But then there came a point where I was like, yeah, this is fun, but like, what do I really want to do? You know, and my calling, I've always wanted to help people, right? How can I help people? I want to help the children. How can I help the children? It's the school shooting crisis. We're going to go back to that door, which is what my TED talk and my film was about, is the school shooting crisis that has not been resolved since Columbine. Columbine was 25, not 26 years ago. Yeah. And since then, there have been over 400 school shootings, and neither party have really done anything about it. They've talked about it. They've done some little bit of gun reform, but that's the problem. They're barking up the wrong tree. It's not guns, it's mental health.
Yeah.
I wish they would switch that conversation. And that's why I'm trying to spread this awareness even more on this issue. It's a spiritual crisis, which is part of the mental health crisis. They're correlated with each other, you know? And that's where my calling card is now, is I did my TED talk, and now I just finished producing my film. We're going to be submitting some film festivals, and we're just trying to create a basically a shock and awe campaign, because the film is, it's not a pretty film. You know, the audience experiences a school shooting, but they experience the why behind it. They see why it's happening. And, you know, the majority of school shooters, and you can, there's multiple articles that have read this. The majority of school shooters have been extremely bullied and humiliated. Because this country doesn't care about morals and ethics and values.
Yeah.
Where school is failing the children, where they are still failing the children, is telling us that grades are all, get good grades. Good grades are all that matter. Get good grades, good college, good degree, good job. You'll sing kumbaya. Your morals, values, integrity, they mean nothing. So because of that, you have a whole bunch of kids on SSRIs that are wanting to kill each other. And that's another connection that RFK Jr. is wanting to do. The school shooters with the SSRIs, and also the suicide crisis as well. It's not just the school shootings, the suicide. The kids are all ending themselves because they see no, they see no. But then they're given drugs, you know, black box warning labels that say increased suicidal tendencies. We're not having that conversation, you know? So
we're not.
I see the big picture of what's going on, and it comes down to the consciousness crisis, which is what this, the whole thing of what I'm talking about, and that's my story. That's my story in a nutshell, and just trying to push to continue to light the flame and help people see the shadow side of humanity that's hurting everyone.
I love how you share with us that, like, your experience with bullying, even the sexual abuse, and just what your childhood, in what you endured in your childhood, and now seeing that there's correlation in a lot of the school shooters, and we're talking about high school school shootings, we're talking about even like Virginia Tech, like we're talking about just school shootings, period, on any level, the elementary school, like just on every single level. It is beautiful to see that, one, you chose the route of healing, no matter what that rage, what that anger, what that pain was doing to you internally. Right. You chose the path of healing and understanding, right? Yes. And also seeing how what you experienced, what that looks like in other people in these school shootings, because what happened was in school, right? What happened to you took place in school. It took place during that age group. And that age range, I'm so big into like childhood development. Been working with kids since, I mean, I was working at the Boys and Girls Club in Carver Shores when I was 15. But it's like, it's that age range is so susceptible to everything, good, bad, and indifferent. So it's very beautiful to see how literally you've taken your pain. You see it in these kids, in this mass shooting thing that's happening, more than what's being reported. Let's talk about that, right?
For sure. Yeah. Yes.
There's so much they're happening every day, and we don't even know how many are even happening as we're speaking right now. And then turning your pain into your purpose.
Absolutely. It's aside from the mass shootings, you see the, okay, let's play the what-if scenario. Take away the guns, right? Guess what? You have stabbing problems, just like UK, just like Australia, just like China. Okay, that's not enough. The Boston bombing, remember that? Okay, that's not enough. Okay, what about New Year's of this year? A man drove his car straight through a crowd in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
People will manifest their hatred into destruction, and they will use whatever tool they want. That's why the conversation has to shift from guns to mental health. Yeah. The second we shift resources to mental health and really helping out kids and young adults and adults of every age group, mental health is a every age category. People are hurting, people are struggling. You know, once we really prioritize mental health, just like we should be doing physical health, then everything changes. The whole culture changes, society changes, and just everything changes. Like, this is much more than just like, you know, some fad diet. You know, this is something very deep. And once people are willing to go that deep, you shift the collective consciousness, and you have a future that is full of hope and joy instead of fear and sorrow and depression.
Yeah. There's the spiritual health of a person is what controls all of the rest of the body, right?
Yes.
So when we're talking about soul work and spiritual healing and spiritual wellness, we're talking about, where do you feel like you belong?
Yes.
Because belonging is a part of that. Belonging is, okay, I can have several different groups of friends and feel like I belong in all those groups of friends.
Right.
And there's like a sense, that sense of self, right? There's no sense. No one is teaching how to do interpersonal work in high school.
It's because
in middle school. Yeah.
Has anybody asked why? It's because of John D. Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller founded the Board of Education in 1903, and he said very infamously, "I want a nation of workers, not thinkers." Thus, the American education system was born. And that might have worked for the Industrial Revolution. You know, you needed factory workers. But we have technology up the butt now. You know, we it's not a technology issue. It's not a supply chain issue. It's a spiritual issue. And that's why all the kids are destroying themselves. You have the cell phone, which is, people don't realize how powerful that is. You have access to infinite knowledge right in your phone. And you choose to watch videos that, you know, that do not help your life. And it's sad, you know, and that's because these kids don't have purpose. They're driven by dopamine addiction in their brain. And that's the Instagram. That's the, you know, it's the instant. That's the name of the profile, right? The instant gratification. Yeah. So we have to move from long-term purpose out of short-term gratification into figuring out what your long-term purpose is. And figuring out, and if people, for those that don't know what their purpose is, your purpose is to serve one another. That is why we are here. We are here to serve one another. Now, how you serve, that's your creative field. What do you love to do? You know, you can write a book, cook good food, open your own restaurant, you know, produce whatever. You want to be a teacher, be a math teacher, that's fine too. And then use that to the world. Use your gift to the world. Everyone has a gift. Your job is to find that gift, master that gift, and then give it to the world.
Oof, man, this is big. So I do yoga with 3-year-olds, 3 to 5-year-olds. It's the cutest thing ever, but you get to see them learn themselves.
Right.
And I think there's this space where we feel like, oh, they're just kids. They don't know what they want to do. They don't know what they're supposed to do. We'll put this on them. We'll put this in them. So I think even you pointing out the fact that, like, people were just like, oh, you're tall, you should play basketball, right? I had that too. It's like, oh, you're tall, you should play basketball, or oh, you're tall, you should model, or oh, you're tall, you should do this. And it's like, well, yeah, sure, I'll do that, you know, because there's the status quo of
stereotypes.
Right. You have this physical societal norm that's supposed to fit with this particular thing, this particular income, this particular job, right? I also wanted to touch back on, you shared so much, so I'm trying to, like,
I apologize in advance again.
No, it was rich.
So much, I try to condense it, and I talk a lot, and I try to.
No, it's so rich. That's the thing. Like, it's so rich that I don't want to miss anything, right? Because there's so much to highlight, especially with, like, the gun violence. A friend that I had on the show last week her organization is around gun violence. Like, how do we get kids off the street and away from this? And same thing, it's the mental health. When we talk about, so let's tap back into like the energy work, right? And the visualization. Tell me about what that experience was for you in really understanding energy and looking at what your energy could have been like from what you experienced. Did you ever like sit with that and just kind of say, oh, like I could have chose a different route because of the energy that was given to me?
Ooh, like you mean if I like had this knowledge earlier?
Or if you didn't have it at all, like once you got it, was there ever a moment where it was like, wow, like I could have ended up going a different route.
I play the alternate universe game more often than I like. Not anymore, because now I'm living in my highest timeline. So now that I am, I'm all in on what I'm doing and I don't think about anything else. But I definitely used to think, what if I just really just went down the basketball path? You know, there's, again, I don't want to branch off too much because there's so many different paths I could be talking about, but there's a lot of different routes I could have gone in my life. Had I chosen the easier way, had I chosen the way of conformity, you know, I had to do a lot of shadow work to understand who I was, who I am, why am I here? And it's not quick. It's a long time and it's different for everyone, but it is, you have to go to the depths of your soul that your teachers, your guidance counselors, your parents aren't going to talk about.
Yeah.
And you know, that's where the true you actually is. And once you figure out who the true you is, once you do the shadow work, you see how much light you actually have. And then you try to figure out how to share that light with the world.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit more about shadow work. I love talking about shadow work, FYI. But I want them to hear it from somebody else because I'm planning an episode on shadow work. But it's nice that you are like you speak on that because people are scared to touch the dark.
And they will never, all those that operate that way, they will never find themselves. And it's because it is scary. Because we don't talk about it. We highlight the good. We highlight the great. You know, that is you know, on social media, it is the highlight reel. Everyone thinks it's a whole positive thing, you know, and everyone hides the darker aspects of themselves. And what shadow work is, you know, the human spirit is a yin and yang spirit. You know, one of the philosophies that I studied deeply was Hermeticism. As above, so below. As within, so without. The law of correspondence, the law of vibration, the law of frequency. Cause and effect, the law of polarity. All these things make sense once you understand the bigger picture and who we are as spiritual beings, not just this low density meat, flesh and bone, you know, searching for pleasure. You know, that's the great illusion. That is the great illusion. And then there's so many ancient traditions that talked about the tradition that and lifting the veil and realizing that we are spiritual beings. And as spiritual beings, we have shadow sides. We have light side and shadow side. The positive and negative, light and dark, warm and cold. You know, it's the parts of ourselves that we hide, that we bury to the world, but we go home to it every single night when we go to sleep. And you know, what do you choose to do with that? Are you that energy that's holding you down, that's keeping you in fear and anger and a low vibration and a low frequency? Yeah. That is your shadow side, whatever that is. Your duty is to excavate that, look at it, stare right, not run from it. You stare it in the face and be like, okay, what's up? What do I need to learn?
Literally.
What do I need to learn from you? Okay, I need to learn this and this and this and this. And you will get lessons from the universe endlessly until you finally switch and change and confront that. And once you truly confront that shadow portion of yourself, the light ignites. And the shadow disappears into the ether. And you get to go forward and charge on into your real true self, a divine being capable of infinite potential.
Yeah, I always believe that there is, and we touched on it a little bit before I hit record, but that there is a divine version of us, right? But there's these life experiences that we go through and have to go through to get back to that version of us and really step fully into that divine being, that soul work, that helper, that healer, that person, that soulful entity in this system, in this portal, right?
Right.
To do what we were supposed to do, to expose what we're supposed to expose, to create what we're supposed to create. Because we are part of the divine, so we are also creators, right?
Exactly.
And even to your point, something that you said before about like people manifesting hate, manifesting right. jealousy, manifesting evilness, all of those, right? It's a reminder that we are all manifestors.
Exactly. Good and bad.
Good and bad, right? And you have control over what you manifest.
That's the secret. that's the greatest, that's been known for thousands of years. The greatest teachers have known this, you know, and now the reason why this is the greatest time period to be alive is because you're no longer bound to the ignorance of the city that you were born in around the world. Now you have access to global information, and we now have access to this. This is deep information that has been hidden by some powerful structures. But there has been ancient seers and prophets and, you know, magicians from the past that have known this, that have shared it, you know, the Buddha, Krishna, Vishnu, Jesus, etc. You know, but now we're in the period where everyone has access to this knowledge. So it's such a beautiful thing to witness.
And the veil right now is so thin. it's wide open. Oh, yeah. I was just talking to a friend. It's just like the cosmos are cosmoing. It's they are doing a thing, and and it's like the most potent time to go inward and tap into your soul, tap into your being, get out of the ego, right? It's a time for people to be exposed to which one they're tapped into also, right? Yeah. When we're talking about the power of manifestation and even just how these school shootings get manifested, it's like, oh, you're not tapped into your soul. You're tapped into ego.
Yes. Yep.
Right? You're tapped into a completely different space, right? Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, whoever was nurturing that child, where were they tapped into?
Exactly.
Right? They were tapped into fear or not enoughness or whatever was happening with them to not be able to nurture this child so that they can tap into their soul, tap into their inner self. Ooh, that's powerful. So tell me about like your book, the movie, if you want to share the movie, because what does advocacy look like for you now moving forward with, you know, really coming out on the other side so beautifully, Mark, so beautifully from the things that you've endured? Because let me tell you, you're also only the second man on my show.
Oh, wow. I'm honored.
So like when I tell you,
a lot of men are not, this is divine feminine energy that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so many guys, they have no clue what even that even means. You know, they're stuck on like, I'm a man and I need to do this and I need to do that. And then that's a whole, it's lower consciousness, you know, and it's heartbreaking to see the potential of human beings suffocated, you know, and that's my entire purpose. I'm trying to uncork all these negative energies that are bottling people in of power. And it's not their fault. It's power structures that have built in. The system is the way it is because it was designed that way. We were designed to be kept quiet, to be in fear, to live in ignorance. And we see that hatred manifestation everywhere globally, you know, but now we are living in the age of consciousness, Aquarius, enlightenment. And we're seeing the collective shift happening. One of the major goals of my film is to get in front of certain politicians. Like, I need the synergy of three. I'm looking for the synergy of three certain individuals. Melania Trump, because she's super anti-bullying. Linda McMahon, who's the new Secretary of Education, because we need to start, we need to reform education to include emotional intelligence as early as possible. And lastly is RFK Jr., because he's doing the connections of the SSRIs, antidepressants, and, you know, the increased suicidal tendencies. You know, these are hard things to talk about, but we got to bring it together. We do this, and we synergize all these energies and really prioritize mental health in this nation. That will be an immediate thing that we can do to drastically reduce the school shooters, because there's all the school shooters, none of them woke up one day and was like, today's a great day to shoot up a school. Never. It's always over a long period of time, you know, develop energy can't be recreated or destroyed. They're right. Absorbing all these negative energy and they explode one day. There's a lot. How many bombs are ticking right now? I'm trying to prevent the next school shooting from happening by taking action right now, you know, and that's the huge push of what I'm trying to do for them. And, you know, outside of that, just do collective spiritual awakening by igniting the flame inside of every human soul.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. There's so much policy work that can be changed around mental health. I just got an email about something from Rutgers about that. But there's so much policy work that is needed around mental health and youth mental health and education. All of that. Yeah. And even like with the political landscape being what it is, I'm also in the space where it's like, yeah, go ahead. Let's just tear all this down anyway.
Right.
Because it was already trash.
Right.
All of it was already trash. So when you're done destroying everything that you're destroying, all of us are having meetings, we're doing the things, we're tapping into our spiritual selves and our higher consciousness and shifting timelines and doing the work, getting the rest, right? Saying no to the dead-end jobs, saying yes to calling, saying yes to purpose, saying yes to advocacy, so that we can rebuild it.
Yes.
And rebuild it the way it needs to. Because we're still talking about like the spirit of racism, the spirit of feminism, the spirit of capitalism, right? We're like, those are all spiritual entities that have been embedded into this land for so long. So when we're talking, so when you say energy cannot be created or destroyed, it's always here. It's like, okay, well, now we all have a choice in which end of the energy stick do we want to tap into?
Exactly. But people don't even know they have access to that because of television programming. Like, look at the word programming. It's written there. You know, people aren't even aware that they have this power, you know, and that's my duty, is to let them know the power that they have and then to access and use that power for greater good.
Yeah.
Until we reach a point of, you know, once enough people get this and make that shift, because once you understand this, your life permanently changes. You will never go back to the way you were before. You'll have issues always. We're human beings as part of this contract of being a human. But once you have that knowledge, you have the full power of persevering through any single obstacle in your life. And once you have access to that divinity of that divine energy within you, you become an unstoppable force, and you see miracles manifesting in your life beyond imagination. And, you know, if we do that collectively, just the entire world changes. I see an entirely different Earth in like 10 to 20 years than it is right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once enough people reach this point, we reach critical mass, light overtakes the darkness, and we usher in a new era. And this new era, I believe, will be this way for thousands of years.
Yeah. Do you do any work with kids?
I used to work with kids as a Taekwondo instructor.
Okay. Oh, cool. Oh, cool. So yeah, they understand the chi.
They get a basic understanding of, you know, energy and respect and all that stuff. So yeah, it's kids are incredible. They're more connected than people give them credit for, you know. And if you just allow them to tap into their creativity, there's so much incredible power and creation can happen, you know.
Yeah. Oh, any final thoughts, anything else that you want to kind of leave the Soul Tribe with? You shared so much, and it was, I mean, you don't need much, but it was just impactful. Like, I think you just sharing the depths of your story, and thank you for your vulnerability, and showing us what it looks like to really take hold of your own energy, really take hold of your own trauma and turn it completely into your purpose, with no intention of harming anybody. I think that's the part that's like blowing me for some reason, because you, like, it's that old saying, like, hurt people hurt people, but it's like, yeah, but healed people also heal people also. And
exactly.
Yeah, you have a choice in what you do with your pain. Like, you can bleed out all over everybody, or you can go fix up the wounds, heal yourself, clean up the wounds, do what you need to, tap back into yourself, right?
Yes.
Allow yourself to cleanse that, remove that, and transmute it into, like, the, like, alchemists, literal alchemists. It's alchemy.
So I was transmuting, just in the past 5 seconds, I swear to you, Ashley, I was transmuting Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist in my brain.
Sit that right there.
There it is. There it is right there. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm working on a 5-week coaching program called Soul Work. It's going to be like my signature program. And that just like came to me. I love that book. Like, when I came back from Cambodia, I couldn't sleep because time zone is like crazy. And I lay down and I just heard Spirit say, read The Alchemist. And I was like, okay. So, because I was trying to find it while I was there, and the version that I found was more like the play. But I still bought it, because who has that? And when I read it, I swear to you, I read it within like 2-3 days, and I was just like, okay, all right, I'm on the right path. Yeah, but it's literal alchemy. And it's not often that you see people literally turn their pain into their purpose and create such beautiful advocacy work around that. You're going to get those three spaces that you're trying to get your film in front of. I believe that wholeheartedly. I feel that.
You know, when you have that feeling, that is the just instinct that's just telling you everything. I've never felt this in my life, Ashley. And because I know this is so big, and how big it is just for the collective, you know, everything's falling in the right place. And I'm just super grateful of the many miracles. I'm gonna leave off with two things. Mm-hmm. One is a short miracle that I'm gonna share about how the movie, I had an obstacle in the movie and how the universe made it happen. And then I'm going to recommend a couple of books for either yourself or the readers, because I just
wouldn't
follow through.
Yeah.
So the greatest obstacle I had with creating this film, the film I created is called In Plain Sight, for obvious reasons. And, you know, we filmed most of it, but the most important scene was the, I needed an actual school, right? And trying to find schools that were okay with what we wanted to do was impossible. I signed all the forms, filled out everything. And, you know, when they came to, hey, why do you want to rent our facility? They go like, oh, we understand it's for a good cause, but because of the nature of what it is, we can't do it. And I was getting very frustrated, because the film, we needed a classroom. This cannot be completed without a school, you know? And I remember I was scrolling through Facebook one day, and my recommendations came through, and it was Mrs. Mayhew. Mrs. Mayhew. And I clicked on her profile. Now she's the principal at a charter school across the way. I gave her a message. I told her what I'm trying to do. And she said, Mark, you can use my entire school.
We all loved her. We all knew her and Rego was together. Yeah. Too.
She's an amazing, amazing woman. Oh. But she made this miracle come true. And it's the whole, like, you know, your faith can move mountains, and you never know, because many months I was looking for this with walls. And then just right when I was like, okay, I don't want to give up, but like, and then yeah. I swear, like within a day or two, I got that. So there's that. And then the three books that I'm going to recommend, there's so many books I've read, and that's a part of, you know, your own evolution. You know, you got to drown in personal development books. Becoming Supernatural by Joe Dispenza, Power Versus Force by David Hawkins, and then Reality Transurfing. That's that book is impossible to get. It was developed by a Russian, like Russian intelligence, and but the audio is there on Reality Transurfing. So those three, go into those three, and your understanding of everything will change, and that will definitely give you guidance on what you for your deeper development in your life.
Yeah. I'll make sure to put those in the show notes also, so people can access them. I kept saying I love reading. Like, if I ever have to like leave everything, you're not taking my books, you're not taking my shoes, you're not taking my clothes. but I've always wanted to do like a, not a book club, but get partnered with some agencies or places or online book places that can do some sponsorship work with me around like books, right? Because if you want to know anything, it's in a book.
It really is. We're so grateful. We're so blessed to, again, be in the age of information. It's all right there.
All right there.
Use it.
Yes.
Do not get left in the dust for your own ignorance.
Yeah. Oh, Mark, it's such a pleasure. Yeah. Such a pleasure. Man, this isn't our last time in this space together. Whatever it is that you need, I'm here. I'm sure it's vice versa, but I love tapping back in with people from high school, because it's like that was our like that was just an age like high school.
The spiritual world that we're in, and like the vibrational 3D world, that is just
it's wild, right? It like there's days where high school feels like it just ended yesterday, and then there's days where it's like it ended literally 25 years ago and it was really 20. So I remember you from like I remember you from high school. It's not one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, I went to high school him. Like, I remember you. You've always been so genuine, always so kind-hearted, always so sweet, gentle. Like, you were just a genuinely good fucking person. Like, so when you share some of the things that you experienced during that time, like, so much more power to you. And I know what that's like. Like, high school, it was we were family, like in some form or fashion, we were family. So you always have a home here. On the soul work with love, right? And again, if there's anything you need, and like I know we're gonna be collaborating on some stuff. I can feel it.
Thank you so much. Everything you said to me, back at you 100-fold. You are truly a wonderful human being too. You were always kind to me back then. Thank you for being one of the few kind human beings to me. And thank you for your work that you're doing to awaken people and to share healing. And to just share the truth.
The truth is gonna set us all free. Woo-hoo. I believe that. And we will be right back. Oh, take a nice big inhale and exhale. Man, that was a deep conversation. That was a very real conversation. I'm starting to just see my work evolve. I'm starting to just see the importance of some of these conversations that I want to have. Mark is a beautiful soul. Excuse me, the pollen is pollinating. Happy spring. Mark is a beautiful soul. Like you guys have seen in the episode or heard in the episode, we know each other from high school. It takes nothing to be a kind person. It takes nothing to be a kind person. And here we are 20 years later, getting ready to embark on some beautiful work together that are going to change lives, that are going to change policies, that are going to change the landscape of so many things. This is community. This is healing. This is partnership. This is what it's all about, right? This is literally what it's all about. I hope this episode really brought home what the theme was for this month, which was all around advocacy, doing the soul work for your soul's work, and what it looks like to not allow your story, what you've been through, to be that final chapter. You still hold the pen to what you can do. I think we get so comfortable in pain. We get too comfortable in pain and in, oh, this happened to me. But I want to know, what are you going to do with that? How is it transforming you, right? What is it allowing you to see different about you and the world that needs to be shifted, that needs to be changed? Because you're not the only one that has experienced that. Right? The most universal thing is love, and the most universal thing is pain. And we all have the ability to hold both. We all have the ability to shift both. We all have the ability to transform in both and with both. So, this was a really beautiful conversation. Thank you guys for the grace the last 2 weeks to just be present for myself and be present with family in the passing of my great grandmother and my grandmother. It's been spiritually, I've been feeling shifts and changes. Emotionally, I feel joy that they are both resting and in peace and no longer in pain. So I love you all for free. Until next time.